Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And this morning we're going to talk out of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, in an area that I like to call Christian atheism. Now, atheism defined is the doctrine or the belief that there is no God. It's a disbelief in the existence of a supreme being. And when someone holds to that belief, it's going to affect the way that person lives their life, the choices they make, how they handle themselves. Now, many of us as Christians would probably not consider ourselves atheists. But how many of us live like one? We may not claim that there is no God, but yet our everyday lives are lived without any recognition, acknowledgement, or even dependence on God. We're simply living as unbelievers. Now, in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, he addresses the root of all the conflict that has been written up to this point in the letter. He says, the reason that you're showing favoritism, the reason you're speaking evil towards one another, the reason you're living like the world is because you're proud. You're selfish. It's that selfish desire that wars within you. And James says that the issue is you love you more than you love God. And what James is doing in this letter is he's confronting these believers pretty harshly. He says, at the core, you are worldly. You're living an adulterous lifestyle against the God who longs to have a relationship with you. You have an idolatrous heart. And God uses these terms that you have broken my heart. He says you're being ruled by your own passions. And he goes on and on in this letter and he just peels it back one layer at a time. And when we get to the core and the root of our heart, we realize that we have the same problem. That we're proud. That we're selfish. And we can identify with this. We have the life we want. We have the friends we want. The church we want. Everything that makes us comfortable. If it's what we want. We surround ourselves with Christian terminology and it's all good. And then God says, what about me? As this truth of our selfishness and pride comes clear into focus, we recognize that we are committing adultery against God. What a harsh reality. And when that comes into clear focus, it can lead us to be discouraged and frustrated and disappointed. But yet I love verse 6 in chapter 4. He says, but God gives more grace. The reason I love that verse is because in the midst of our sinfulness and selfishness, God gives us hope. He says, I give grace. And in verses 7 through 10 of chapter 4, he describes and lays out who he gives grace to. He gives grace to the humble. So in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, he defines worldliness. Worldliness is living for what we want more than what God wants. And now in verses 13 through 17, he's going to use an illustration to reveal how this pride is lived out in our daily lives. So how is this selfishness, how is this pride of living for myself, this worldliness that's been defined, revealed? James 4:13 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen for tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, you shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. He begins in verse 13 and he simply says, listen up, pay attention, hear the words that I'm about to say. And listen to what he says. He says, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there buying and selling to make a profit. And what is our response when we hear that? We're simply thinking, okay, well, what's the big deal? They're planning. Planning is good. We make plans. We're supposed to make plans. We're supposed to do well with our time, right? But here's what James is doing. What he's doing is he's going to take an everyday event and he's going to show that the planning isn't the problem. It's what's left out of the planning that's the problem. So we have an everyday event. We have a plan. There's no evil in this plan. It's a simple plan. It's not that they're going out to plan to do harm or evil. It's a simple plan. So what's the problem? The problem is what we don't see. And what you don't see in verse 13 is anything involving God in the plans. So James describes a way of life that carefully considers time, place, action, and motive, but gives no place to God. You see, the problem is these people are establishing their plans on their own ability. It's presumptuous, it's arrogant, it's bold. They're relying on their own ability to achieve. They're self-motivated, they're self-made individuals. And James is confronting those individuals who live with the mentality that they have tomorrow under their grasp, that they have everything under control. He's addressing the ones who don't recognize their need for God on a daily basis. And look how he describes them. Number one, he describes their attitude of self-sufficiency. He's saying, you assume that you have the ability to carry out your plans, that somehow you possess the strength, the health, the breath, the wisdom to live your life. Think about this for a moment. When you woke up today, did you spend time on your knees seeking God, asking for strength, for help, for wisdom, acknowledging that the breath you have at this moment is given by God? Did you spend any time today recognizing that you need God for everything? Or did you just wake up and get after it? Did you just wake up and then just start living? See, isn't that naturally what happens? We have an average day, a situation under control. There's no need for God. It's just work. It's just home. It's just going to the store. The reason we live that way is because it works, right? Or so we think. Oh, I don't need God. I'm just going to work. I do it every day. Punch the clock. Go home. I don't need God at work. I know what I'm doing. I studied for this. I trained for this kind of work. What do I need God at work for? Oh, I'm just at home with my family. I don't really need God. Isn't that how we begin to think, or at least how we live? We get into this routine like we have everything under control. And the problem is, what James is reminding them is that we don't. Now, all of us would recognize that we need God. But most of the time, we recognize we need God only when we're facing something that we can't do, right? Well, that's the point James is making. Every day you need him, because you can't do anything any day without him. You cannot even breathe without him. Have a thought, move a finger on your own. You can't do it. The pride that he is addressing here is a self-sufficient attitude, living with the strength and the ability to do things on your own. It's that mentality and that idea that's, oh, Lord, I got this. I can do it. Psalm 39, verse 4 through 5 says this, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Man, what a reminder. Lord, help me to know my end. And the point James is making in this passage is that we are to live with a recognition that God is in control, that any moment is in his hands, that you are not in control. You are frail. You are totally dependent on him for everything. And what God is saying is, I know your heart. And what you're living like is you're saying, you don't need me. Notice how open God is through James about his confrontation of these believers. This pride, this selfish desire within you, not only is it allowing you to play favorites with certain people because they have money, not only is it allowing you to speak evil of one another, not only is it allowing you to live like the world, but it's allowing you to live as though I don't exist. You're living like the world lives, that you don't need me unless there is an emergency. I mean, think about this. We go to work, we live our lives, we do the day-to-day as if God does not exist. But then maybe we hear we need a biopsy. Oh, Lord, we need to talk. oh, I got this at work, but all of a sudden you realize that your boss is laying off people. Oh, Lord, we got to talk. You got an average Monday through Saturday. I got this. And all of a sudden something that you can't control happens, and you come running to God, recognizing your need that you don't have it. You know, Luke 12, verses 16 to 21 is a familiar parable of the rich fool. It tells us that his crops increase, he builds bigger barns for storage. And, you know, as we read that parable, just like if the world would read it, we would look at this man and the conclusion we come to is, man, this guy's wise. He's smart. That's a good business model. You get an abundant harvest, build more storage barns. We can increase our profits. So the way we come to the conclusion of this man is we may think he's wise, but what's interesting when you read that parable is the conclusion God comes to is that he's a fool. You say, well, how come I think he's wise, but God thinks he's a fool? Well, simply because he's self-sufficient. God was not needed. That's the point that James is making to these people. You're living as though you do not need God. So James confronts them and says, you are making your own plans based on your own ability. You're living with this attitude of self-sufficiency. And you need to come to the understanding that you can't live that way. That's the way the world lives. That's godless living. You need to live with a recognition that God is in control. Every breath I take, he is in control. Every move I make, he's in control. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything about me. He's God. I am not God. So James, in verse 13, addresses this attitude of self-sufficiency, this assuming that we have the ability to carry out our plans, that somehow we possess the strength, the health, the breath, and the wisdom to live our lives the way we want. But the reality is we don't. Do you live this way? Maybe you just woke up this morning and just got into the routine and already are thinking, man, I live this way. I don't live with this recognition, with this attitude of total dependency on God, that I actually need him, that I need to depend on him, rely on him for everything. And that's the point that James wants us to come to. It's okay to plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. But in the midst of your planning, include God. God needs to be involved in every area of our lives. May that be a challenge for us today. Have a great day.